Welcome back, listeners. Another episode of the Cyber Queens podcast. And Stacey and I are sitting here with Lynn Dom, the executive director of Women in Cybersecurity, the WISIS organization that we all know. Lynn, welcome to the Cyber Queens. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
I think I kind of stole your thunder a bit. I gave them your title and where you work and everything, but please go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the people a little bit about you.
All right. So I'm Lynn Dom. I'm with the Women in Cybersecurity Organization. We often go by our acronym, WISIS, and we spell that W-I-C-Y-S, pronouncing it WISIS like we sisters, because we're a global cyber sisterhood. So our mission is to recruit, retain, and advance women in cybersecurity. And you know, I heard the WISIS like we sisters at my very first conference itself in 2018 when it was here in Chicago. And I was like, that makes sense. So it makes it so much easier to remember. So I've been executive director since October of 2019. And WISIS has really, you know, changed my life. My first conference was in 2018. It was the first time I had this camaraderie and community and network within my own cybersecurity journey. And so it's really great pleasure to be executive director and to be able to be a part of these amazing conversations on Cyber Queens, which is a great name for a podcast. And congratulations to you both for Difference Makers of the Year Award. That's super awesome. And all your hard work that you're doing within the community. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a big milestone for Cyber Queens. This conversation came about because of our fabulous volunteer, Jody Lash, who was like, hey, are we interested in like partnering with WISIS and doing a little cross collaboration, a little cross promotion? I was like, 1,000%, absolutely. Please make that happen. Can you make that happen? And we all sat down on a planning call and this came about. And gosh, just hearing Lynn talk on that first call about the mission and how they execute on it and the values. I was just like, I was starstruck. I was like, I'm so in love right now with everything you're saying. This is perfect. Given that we moved right into the segment, and when Lynn and I were talking, this was something she called feel good diversity, like versus intentional and actionable diversity. And since we've been talking about the state of inclusion, what can organizations actually do differently to help or change their culture and be intentional and actually like manifest these things that they think they're seeing with these metrics changing that aren't really real? How can we combat the feel good?
Right. And that's to pay attention. I mean, that's the number one thing, is to pay attention. And these intentional actions are here in place. And to your point, even earlier saying, wow, 2,200 women in cybersecurity exist. Yes, we're here. Like, meet the community where the community is at. It's not that hard. But allyship is empathy in action. And it requires folks to pay attention. It requires intentional actions. It requires interrupting the interrupters. And it requires all of us to just be in this connective shared space of understanding so we could learn and grow and overcome these challenges collectively. It can be done. So, and the most important thing is just do no harm. Do no harm to those that are in this space, and to be able to move forward so we could all show up as our fullest potential of ourselves and advance in our careers, not only for ourselves, but the women we stand next to. You know, we're a part of a community because we really feel that strong community bond. We know that we're not doing all that we're doing only for ourselves, just like you two aren't, because you wouldn't be having a podcast if it was all about yourself. You wouldn't have Hackers in Heels if it was all about yourself. You're doing it for all the women that you're standing next to, and to be able to be on this pathway together collectively in a space to have a lucrative career and a work-life balance that is absolutely, you know, capable of having. So paying attention.
Do you think it's on us as the women to voice when we see that inequality, when they could do things differently to help us out? Because a lot of times that looks like we're looking for preferential treatment, or we're looking for a handout or whatever. Or do you think it's on the leaders and the managers to solicit that feedback and say, are we meeting you where we say we will? Are we doing a good job with this? Like, where does the shared responsibility model on diversity fall?
Well, that's a really good question. And you're absolutely right. Like, we need to be seen, we need to be heard, but then we're pegged as aggressive. And then we need to be assertive and but also agreeable and accommodating.
And always thankful. And always be thankful for everything we have.
Right. So those are the real big challenges right there. But allyship is for men, women, everyone to be a part of. And if it takes advocating for yourself or interrupting the interrupters for even other individuals in the room, even women interrupting the interrupters for unfair treatment of other individuals in that space, no matter what it might be, that's a really important thing to do. But it's very courageous and it's not easy to do. I mean, you're really putting yourself in a vulnerable state when you show up as an ally. And that's why I think a lot of people shy away from it because they feel like, oh, that's messy. We don't want to get involved in that. That's their problem. And so therefore, they kind of shy away and they protect themselves because it's uncomfortable. And being an ally is a leadership skill set in my eyes because it takes a lot of work. It takes practice. It takes being courageous and very brave to speak up and open up in that space. And so all of us have to continue to do the good work of bringing these conversations to life like you do. So thank you. But also, you know, speaking up for ourselves, speaking up for others, and encouraging our leadership to learn more. And they can learn more by all our resources. WESIS has How to Be an Ally to Women in Cybersecurity, Inclusive Mentoring, How to Be an Inclusive Leader. When you come to the WESIS conference, we have the Male Allyship Symposium. We have the Inclusive Leadership Luncheon. We have all those resources on our website. We make it available as often as we possibly can. So, and in our mentor-mentee program, that's like opening up another space where we want to have these conversations. One of my favorite things is when we launched our mentor-mentee program, a guy that I worked with, he became a mentor, and he said he himself going through the mentor-mentee program as a mentor, because the resources are intended to mentor the mentors so that they could then mentor the cohorts. Mm-hmm. So it's like a train the mentor program. But he said after going through that program himself and having those really uncomfortable conversations in his cohort, that a year later, he cannot believe the individual that he is. Like he leans into these conversations so at ease because he went through the mentoring program himself and he just has a different framework of understanding because of the experiences of his cohort. And so we're all learning and growing in this space. There's no expert. There's no, you know, one thing and you're going to get there. We all have to continue to do it together.
Yeah, I find that that unease really only comes if you're afraid of being attacked because you're about to say something that comes from an uneducated standpoint. If you're to be like, yeah, I agree, screw those people, or like, oh, you're wrong, you're just siding with the enemy or whatever, but you don't have anything to back that up. You don't have any data. You don't have any like informed opinions. You're just kind of going with things that you've heard. And then people question you. Then you feel like attacked. And then so I just think, like you said, educate yourself. You know, lean into the conversations, like read the research, and then you will form your own opinion and you'll have something to back it up with. But we are all learning. I'm in a group thread with quite a few people where there's two of us who are of the LGBTQ community and a few who are not. And they were like, listen, I work with this customer who really takes things like this personally. And they're one of those people who can be a little abrasive in how much they advocate for themselves and take things like offensively and stuff. And like, how can I relate to this person? Or how can I make sure I'm not, you know, fired at when I really am trying to be on their side, but I don't want to look in like disingenuine. And I was like, honestly, I would say I might make a mistake if I make a mistake, if I mispronoun, please correct me on the spot. I'd love to make on the spot corrections. I would love to learn. Please coach me. Turn them into an ally rather than. I'm like, but all you can do is ask questions and say, this is the mm-hmm. place that I'm at, but the place that I want to be. And I might stumble, but help me get there. Like none of us are going to be mad because you are trying to improve, you know, so.
Exactly. I love that. That's great advice. That is great advice.
And my personal take is that if you are smart enough to be in cybersecurity, you are smart enough to figure out what you can do, what you should do, what you are responsible for doing when it comes to inclusion and being an ally and, you know, making the workplace equitable and inclusive. Like if you can figure out how to, you know,
the cloud or Kubernetes, or coding.
Exactly. You can figure out all these kinds of things. I am confident that you have the ability within you to figure out, like, how do I recruit women onto my cybersecurity team? What sorts of policies and programs do we need to retain them? How do I set up career progression for them? And all of that before the answer being that you run to the women on your team and ask them to do it for you, right? I've been on a team before where it was like, oh, we like, yes, we really want to support women. Stacy, like, can you go out and get the women? And it's like, there is nothing innately like powerful or within me that makes me any more or less capable of recruiting women to come onto our team than you. You all have the ability to go to google.com and type in women in cybersecurity conferences and pick out a few of them, attend them, connect with women, talk with them, and invite them to have a, you know, a virtual coffee chat or something, right? Like, there is nothing about me that makes it to where only I, because I am a woman, can do this, right? And so it almost feels like, in a way, sometimes there's like this, you know, in relationships, they talk about like that weaponized incompetence. Like, I almost feel like that's what happens sometimes with others in our, you know, in our, you know, industry when it comes to like, oh, I want to be an ally. I do support women, but like, I don't know what to do. And it's like, in 2024, there is no excuse, because you just listed off with WeSees all of these resources that will tell you exactly what to do.
Right. And it boils down to, again, the intentional actions. Meet the community where the community is at. The community exists. It's how are you going to show up within the community? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, how do you, what is your, like, what are you prioritizing, and how are you prioritizing that, and how are you going to move it forward? And so I love that though.
I love it. And I have one more point I wanted to make on this. And someone kind of asked a similar question before we move on from this topic, because I do want to talk about WeSees programs, because it's one of those behemoths where like your org is so big and beautiful that like some people don't know where the entry point is, how to get started, what they should start with. So I do want to get to that. But someone asks, how can we advocate for more women in leadership roles within the cybersecurity industry? And the thing I was going to ask is, when you see companies saying we're committed to like 50% women on leadership by a certain year, and it comes down to like, we could pick one of these two people, but should we pick them because they're a woman? Do you think that's like commendable or enough? Do you think we should be doing stuff like that? And like, I mean, it achieves the goal. It gets more women in those conversations, in those rooms, at those tables. But is that how we should be approaching it?
Oh, that's a complicated question.
I know, but I can't think of anyone better to ask. So.
I know.
Okay, we'll just go back to the original. Just how can we advocate for more women in leadership roles within our industry?
Well, it really comes to the career growth advancement opportunities, is to have that clearly lined out. I mean, everyone should have professional development opportunities and should know exactly where they're going and aspiring to go within an organization. And when you're looking at and track how many individuals are getting, like, I mean, what we're seeing in our studies is that women are getting passed up time and time again for promotions, for different stretch assignments, for, you know, different new opportunities within the organization. And is that being tracked? And is that being tracked and also taken into consideration when they're looking at different and various candidates? Because what our study has pointed out is that women are experiencing that glass ceiling because of just that, because there is that, they're just kind of left stagnant. No one's really taking responsibility. They're asking questions. They don't know quite where they're going to go back into the org. Like, there's no big career growth strategy in place for them. And so take the initiative. If you value the women and the individuals on your team, just like all the individuals on your team, you should have a clear growth strategy for them. And that takes time. You know, that's a leader. That's a leader. You know, and that's a person really investing in the individuals that are reporting to them. And they're really taking a look at what is going to be the best for those people to have that fulfilling happiness and, you know, rewarding career that they deserve, and they could grow in that career and be retained. You know, Gartner reported at the beginning of 2023 that it's estimated by 2025, 50% of cybersecurity leaders are going to be stepping out of their role. So we not only have that, this big workforce need, this critical workforce shortage.
We have a workforce replacement shortage coming up soon.
Right. Right. Like, retention is the utmost critical. So we have to pay attention right now. We do not have time to lose. We have to pay attention.
And the reality is that many of the things that, you know, can benefit women and that women are seeking in their workplaces are things that can benefit everybody. Having clear career progression benefits everybody, not just women. So it's worth taking the time to define out really clear criteria of how someone is advancing and providing, you know, an objective process versus the subjective, oh, I worked with Chad for, you know, 7 years doing these other things. And so I'm going to take him to the fifth company that I'm going to work for now and put him in my, you know, my senior leadership team, right? It's like, focus and on building out that clear criteria, mitigate the bias, and, you know, provide these sorts of, you know, programs and support, even just thinking too about like, you know, flexible workplaces, right? And everything around that we're seeing about return to office. So how can a company on one hand say that they support women in the workplace, that they want to retain and advance them, and then on the other hand say, we don't care what your excuse is, you're coming in the office for 4 days a week or whatnot. Like the left hand is not talking to the right. And until these companies kind of connect all the dots here, I think we're going to continue to be at odds. But again, if you actually move forward with these things, like, you're going to have a more happy, more productive, more engaged workplace for everybody, not just the women.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, the study, the state of inclusion study kind of points that out, is that, what was the data? That those that participated in the study that identified as employees of WESA's strategic partner had 36%, they reported 36% less experiences of exclusion, and they had 15% higher levels of satisfaction. And so when we looked at the data, we were like, that's really interesting, because it came out right away. And the researcher was super geeked out about it. He loved it. And he was like, Lynn, you're not going to believe this. How cool. We weren't even looking for that. It just bubbled up to the top. And so we looked into that deeper, and we realized that individuals that participated that were employees of WESA's strategic partners, they were also very involved within the community. They were a part of the mentor mentee program. They were paying it forward by, you know, presenting at the WESA's conference. They were doing webinar series. They were participating, putting together programming efforts for those, you know, really bringing the community together. And that's a higher level of satisfaction. I mean, we're all going to be more satisfied in the workplace when we're working towards a good common goal for all.
It's kind of like Scrooge, right? He felt better when he gave back rather than keeping it all for himself.
That's right. Just like that.
All right. So it's clear that the solution, or a very, you know, an obvious solution that the data is showing us, is that people need to get involved with WESA's programs, right? And so
everybody does. You do, he does, she does, they do, yes. All of them.
So let's definitely get into some
the
of
programs.
Yes.
Tell us.
All right, good. Well, we already talked about the conference. We talked about the virtual conference. The virtual conference is April 18th. We're going to be opening up some programming efforts. So we have the ISC2 Spring Camp that's coming up. So that's creating accessibility for those that might be considering cybersecurity. They don't know where to start. This is a really good starting point. And it's important to note that all of WESA's, what we do is provide that wraparound, like, wholehearted services. Like, when we launch a cohort or a programming effort, we do that with a program manager. We do it with technical mentors. We do it with mentoring. We have open office hours. We provide services and extra services and support structure for our neurodiverse community. So we have all this wrapped around the services, and we track. We want to see success at the end of the program. It's not about just giving out a certification and saying, here, we know that there's challenges and bumps along the way. There's questions, and we want to create that inclusive space for everyone, not only to gain accessibility to cybersecurity, but thrive in their career because of it. So we have the ISC2 summer camp. We have the Google certificate. We're going to be launching a camp on that. We're also going to be opening up our speaker spotlight program. So that's individuals like you all, just, you know, out there in the speaker circuit, that we provide a code for a platform that gives you accessibility to more opportunities. You really build out your speaker portfolio. You become a part of a cohort. We put together a lot of different resources and have guest speakers in that group and really build up that community. That's a year-long cohort. We have this Target Cyber Defense Challenge that's going to be opening up again. Last year, It's about malware analysis and threat intel, and it's an opportunity for those that are in their careers just to explore what would another area of their career look like. Ooh. And then the top 10 that advance to the tier, they're able to report their findings and do a half hour report out to the target cyber defense team or the cybersecurity team. So that's really exciting. And Target came up with that whole program on their own as a way to, as professional development for their cybersecurity team. So it's like a win-win for everyone. That's just evidence of what our actual inclusion assessment just even stated, is that, you know, bringing the team together to work outside of themselves. And then we have our mentor-mentee program. That's going to be opening up as well. So it's a great program. We develop those resources to, kind of overcome some of the sometimes uncomfortable challenges of starting a new relationship with a mentor and mentee, and kind of dive into deeper into relationship building. And so that program hit 1,600 enrolled in 2023.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
And that was 1,600 mentors or mentees?
Both. Nice. Because some are mentors and mentees.
Okay.
Because we match everyone in the program with someone that's just one level above them. We want their experience to be new and fresh. And so that when they're mentoring their cohort, not only do they have the resources that we provide and they could open that up to conversation within the cohort conversation, but they also have their new, fresh experience of advancing in their career and what leveraged them. Because we're always asking our community, you know, what do you want? But sometimes you don't know what you want. You don't know what you
need. You don't even know where you can go, let alone how to get there, or like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we want someone that's a level above, that's like, oh my gosh, yes, I was just in your shoes and you know what worked for me? This is what we want, that resonate, like someone to resonate and really be a part of, you know, the active contributions it takes to, you know, move and advance in your career.
I love that.
So that's all our programming efforts so far.
I wish I could have taken advantage of the mentor program when I was a newbie, because I just kind of like went out and DM'd people and like begged people to help me. But now there was a better, more structured way to go about it. I now know. So, you know, Discord is hefty, but in all those mentorship channels, sometimes calls for mentors can get lost. So if you are needing a mentor, this program is great. The more I learn about it, the more I love it. It's structured. It's not just like, sure, like you want a mentor and you want to help mentor somebody, like go for it. Like they just kind of thrust you together and leave you to your own devices. They get training, they get formal onboarding. You as a member get to benefit not just from that, but many other things. WISIS doesn't try to like upsell you and add on. Pretty much everything is available to the members once you're in. So cannot recommend enough. With that, we're going to move into final takeaways because we've gone a little bit over and I want to be cognizant of our time. So final takeaways, anything you want to leave the audience with, can be how they can get involved, anything on intentional diversity or on any of the programs or appearances or events that we've discussed today. Who wants to go first?
Stacey. Well, my big takeaway is just dive in. Like WISIS, just navigating through your cybersecurity career. Are you asking me about the takeaway?
Yeah, everyone does a final takeaway. Yes, ma'am. Do it. Lead us in.
I'm saying dive in as I'm just diving in.
Yes, dive it. Do what Lynn does. Just do it. Just pull the trigger.
So when the opportunity is right there in front of you, just dive right in. I mean, my favorite stories are when we launched the security training scholarship, that it came up. A woman was a stay-at-home mom for 16 years. She didn't even hear the word cybersecurity, but she was trying to figure out what does she want to do with her life. And on her LinkedIn feed came up something about the security training scholarship where we're, you know, looking for that hidden talent. Do you have the aptitude? Do you have the grip? And she was like, I don't know. Do I have the aptitude? Do I have the grit? I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about this. Let me explore. Well, she ended up being one of the top recipients and is in her cybersecurity career because of it. So it's always like, take that, and I don't want to say risk on yourself, but just take that moment of, even if it feels uncomfortable, like dive right in. If you see something about the WISIS organization that you want to become involved in, just go right in, because navigating through your cybersecurity education, certifications, career, it's never going to change. Cybersecurity is always changing. Like, you're always going to have to be curious. You're always going to have to navigate, and you're always going to have to step into space that sometimes at some point might feel a little uncomfortable and a little unsteady, but you will get your footing. And so here as an organization, we're here to bring that inclusive space and wrap it around you. And, you know, we're here to champion your success. And so anything that you see within the organization, on the website, in the newsletter, just join and navigate through it. And we will all find our community and place because of it.
And I agree with that because people tell me like, wow, Meryl, like you've taken a lot of risks. Like you've jumped here and you've jumped there. And I'm like, no, they've all been calculated risks. I did all of that intelligently. Cause you'll only be new at something for a short time. Chances are you'll probably get pretty familiar with it and then decent at it and then better and better at it as you go along. So every calculated risk I've taken, that's what I've done. I've been like, I'm only going to be this stupid in this today. Next week I'll be better. And next month I'll be even better than that. I literally said that in an interview. I'll tell the story sometime. My takeaway is that WISIS is such a great org because you can truly find your tribe. I love how they break everything down into like many, many tiny groups for you. If the whole bigger, larger org seems very intimidating, if you are introverted, they have like a military wives affiliate. They have the neurodiverse specific affiliate. They have the deaf affiliate. So no matter what closed or smaller community you find more comfortable and you find yourself to be a part of, there's probably a WISIS affiliate community where you can find people just like you and you can all learn and grow together. So my advice would be if it seems like a mountain and you're afraid to even like DM one of us and ask us a question, start there. Start with your smaller affiliate groups and find your tribe and learn together. Stacey, take us home.
Yeah, my takeaway is really that some of these last remarks here, right, in that with wanting to get into cybersecurity, there is just so much information, so many resources. I mean, WISIS has really just covered all the bases in regards to different types of programs and opportunities that can help you out, right? But if you're looking for someone to walk up, take your hand, and tell you step by step exactly what you need to do to get to a certain place within cybersecurity, that's not going to happen. And that's a good thing, right? Like that is almost like the litmus test of you know, whether or not you can be successful in this industry, because there is, as Lynn mentioned, a certain, you know, responsibility as a cybersecurity practitioner to be a lifelong learner, to be curious and to go out there and seek and find and search for answers, right? And so the reality is that like there is so much available to you and WISIS has so much available to you. But if you feel intimidated and you're afraid to make that first step, I think there is an opportunity for reflection there, because that's not going to be the first time you have to put yourself into a new and unknown territory and situation if you're going to work in cybersecurity. So really, really lean into that and do it anyways.
Like I said, just do it.
Just do it anyways.
Full circle. Okay, we're going to close out on that note. Thank you everybody for your listening and for your wonderful comments and for the debates that we've sparked and the questions that you've asked. We will be addressing all those in the comments later. Lynn, thank you so much for being here with us today. I personally learned so much about WISIS I didn't even know before. Like I'm constantly just learning more and more. I just popped that into the comments. So I can't wait to get involved. I'm going to join the mentorship program when it opens up. I hope you're in my cohort. Yeah. So I don't think the best way with this guest is to, if you want to reach out or connect with her, is to DM, because Lynn is a very busy lady, but you can get involved, become a member of WISIS, attend some of the smaller events or virtual events. You can connect with people like Stacey and I at events. We'll be there this year. So, or you can become a member, become a volunteer and get involved. So with that, thank you for being here. We the Cyber Queens wish you success on your endeavors and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.